and Nicole from the Thunder Bay Public Library. It is the new year, so of course Yay. We are talking about our favorite books that we read from last year. Yes. The like top 2021 lists aren't out yet, so we'll get to that later, but our lists are out.
Yes. Yes. Now, I know not everyone who is a big reader tracks their reading. Some people might just like keep a list of titles. Other people like me track obsessively.
Yeah.
So what I use is a program called Goodreads, and it's basically social media for books. Mm-hmm. So you can go in and you have your account, and then you can add books that you have read, and then you can give them a rating out of 5 stars, or you can write a review, or you can just add them and not do either of those things. Mm-hmm. And then you can also add books that you want to read in the future. And then you can also, if you wanted to, you could track books you're currently reading, but like, that seems
hard.
Yeah, that seems like more trouble than it's worth even for me. So yeah. I don't know how often that feature is used. But, and then the other thing that's interesting about it, so it tracks all that for you. When you put the information in, it'll show you like, this is your year in reading. Mm-hmm. So that's where some of the stats that I'm going to share come from. And then I also use a lot of tags when I'm tracking my reading. So they default to those 3 shelves to read, read, and currently reading. But you can also add as many shelves of your own as you want. So you could just do, you could go simple and just add like genres, right? Science fiction, fantasy, whatever. Or when I did more children's programming in the branch, then I would break it down and I had a shelf that was like concept books, which is mm-hmm. like, you know, alphabet, shapes, colors, etc.
Yeah.
Kid fears. And that was like all my books that I read about monsters on the bed and stuff like that.
That's cute.
Yeah. So I used to use it for really detailed pieces like that, so that if a parent came in and was like, this is what I'm looking for, I could be like, hey, what was that book I read about monsters under the bed? And I read it 4 months ago, but I remember it was really good. And then I would go into my Goodreads account, pull up the shelf and like, oh, there it is.
Find it super easy.
So now that I don't do as much or hardly any children's programming, I don't track those the same way. But I still do have some specific little things that I track that are not kind of common genres, and I'll mention some of those as we go a little bit later. Yay. Yeah. So this year I read 62 books.
Wow.
One of which was a picture book, and two were comics, and everything else was a novel.
You didn't count, like you read countless picture books though.
Yes,
but you
I
just
did.
Didn't count them.
This is true. I yeah. did. I used to track all of that, which is how I used to read like 200 books a year, because I would count picture books.
Yeah.
But this time I don't do that any longer, because the only person who needs to keep track of that is me and my son Gavin, and he is very good at keeping track of all yeah. the books we've read and reading them all over and over again many times as well.
Yeah.
So he tracks that for me now. So this is just novels.
Just for you. Yeah.
Just for me. So 59 novels.
Wow.
The longest was Project Hail Mary. Yes. By Andy Weir. He's the one who wrote The Martian a couple of years back. Yeah. That was really huge. And then he wrote like a sophomore book that was kind of like, and everyone was kind of like, one hit wonder. And then he came out with this book and it's really, really good. So
nice.
No, not a one hit wonder, just a bit of a sophomore slump. And then he got it back together.
Senior years here.
Yeah. Yeah. So he did it. It's another science fiction, pretty hard science fiction, lots of stuff about, you know, breaking down the details of how things are done. It's 476 pages. And wow. Yeah, that was my longest one. And of those 59 books, 17 were YA and all the rest were adult.
Wow. Mine is like I'll tell you my stats in a second, but mine are like,
you could
hard
do yours.
Flip. Okay. Well, my longest one was, I'll pull it up one sec. So in comparison to what you just said, I read 17 books, which is for me pretty decent. Last year, I think I read 25, and that was like double my goal. So that was impressive for me. My longest book was House of Earth and Blood by Sarah J. Maas, which was 803 pages.
That's insane.
It was huge.
Okay. Does that, at a certain point though, does that start feeling too long?
It was too long. Okay. I had feelings about this. I don't know if I talked about this one this year, but it was,
you talked about the series maybe.
I think so. It was an interesting read because it was so long. It's an enemies to lovers, but it's also like it took so long for anything to happen in the story, but there's so much build up that the ending was really, really good, but I don't know if it was worth the beginning.
Yeah.
Because it was long.
The slowest of all slow burns.
Yeah, but it, like, even not on the romance front, like, it needed all of those pages to work up to the ending. Like, it felt like they did the ending justice instead of, like, rushing it. Sure. But it was also just so long.
That's really long.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm concerned for the second one in the series.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, God. Fair.
That's totally fair.
Am I going to read it? Who knows? But yeah, it was a massive door stopper.
Super long. That's actually, I didn't look up like what's my longest book of all. So my longest book this year was like half the size. Oh my goodness, I'm just gonna turn that off.
It sounds like it's dying, whatever that was.
Yeah, it's not, that's just my weird ringtone.
Oh, I like it. That's cute.
Yes, that's just my weird ringtone. Carried on. Yes. So and you read more YA than adult.
Yeah, right? I read 10 YA. One children's, which was like a graphic novel, and I guess 6 adult, which is more adult than I've ever read. So look at me go.
It's because we cover such good books and good topics,
honestly,
right?
Most of the ones that were on my list were ones that we've recommended in past episodes, and then I read for the episode and I was like, yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Yep. Good stuff. Okay. Another one of the interesting features of Goodreads is that it tracks the date that you add something, whichever shelf you're adding it to. So I like to see when I add a book that I've read it, it'll show me if it's a book that I had on my to read list. And sometimes it's been sitting on that to read list for many, many long years.
That's nuts.
And that's what happens when you have over 1,000 books in your to read list. Sometimes you pick those up in passing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I looked at the ones that I'd read this year to see which had been sitting on my to-read list the longest. And there was 2 books I read this year that I had actually added in 2017.
Oh, wow.
And finally got around to this year. Now, what were they? Okay, the Line Game by Ruth Westcott.
Okay.
Is that right? Ruth Westcott, or was that Ruth Ware? I feel like I might have written it down wrong.
Anyway, I'm not sure.
The Line Game.
While you talk.
Okay, The Line Game, which I remember adding it. It was a big bestseller. It did really well at the time. And then I ended up reading it for our episode on closed circle mysteries, is why I read it. And then the other one was a YA book called A Map for Wrecked Girls. Yes. And I don't even remember, like, I can't remember a specific reason why I added that one in the first place. And then I ended up reading that one for our survival episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Line Game is Ruth Ware.
Ruth Ware. Okay. I wonder where I got Westcott from.
Tell you.
Wherever I pulled that name from out of my brain, it is in fact Ruth Ware. So those were the ones that had been sitting on my list. And I was thinking, like, probably a smart thing to do at some point would be, I have done this before where I go through my to-read list and try to cull it. Stuff that I'm like, I don't think I'm going to ever get around to reading it, so I should just cut it. But it's so long that that's kind of overwhelming.
What's the point?
Well, it has happened that my to read list was longer than my read list. And I was like, oh no, that's too many. So now I try to make sure it's shorter.
Good for you. You are dedicated. I don't think a single one on my reading list this year was something I had added to my to be read list that wasn't added from this year. Like, I think Cemetery Boys, I was like, ooh, this is coming out this year. And then I read it.
That's good too, you know, to be on top of what you're reading. Heaven knows. Okay. So then I had maybe I'll do the little, my different shelves and genres piece.
Sure.
Okay. So then I went through my list of like my particular shelves, and most of them are like your basic genres. So I have like fantasy, sci-fi, but then I also have a two things that are not quite, well, they're genre stuff too, but specific things that I was interested in that maybe not everyone would sort their books that way, but that's how I sorted these. So
what were they?
Well, okay. So here's my ranking from the genre that I read the most in to the least. And I honestly was kind of surprised when it broke down like this. The other thing about this is that I don't, it's not like if I mark a book as fantasy, that's it. I might mark it as fantasy and romance and something else. Yeah. So it's not like, yeah, just to make that clear that these are some things may have more than one of these shelves attached to it. So I read 17 suspense books this year.
That doesn't surprise me.
It kind of did surprise me because I don't really think of suspense as a genre that I read a lot of, but I guess
they're closed circle mysteries are 100% suspense. Yeah, that's
true.
Yeah.
That's true. And a lot of the survival stories end up being suspense.
Yeah.
Right? But I
just, you were like, that's, huh.
That's news for me to think about. I am, in fact, a heavy suspense reader. Mm-hmm. And then right below that at 16 was mystery, which does not really surprise me.
Kind of similar. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then also quite high, 13 survival.
Not surprising.
And that for me includes stuff like the episode we did where it was like nature survival, but for me that could also, if it's something like because I end up reading a bunch of these too, like a kidnapping or something, then you know that could possibly also be survival, or even just like any like traumatizing terrible situation that people are working through, I'll count that as survival. Mm-hmm. 10 tied. I read 10 romance books and 10 horror books. Probably not a lot of crossover between the two. Yeah. Then, possibly.
Yeah. No, those are 20 separate books.
Well, you never know, because it, like when I say romance, it's like, I don't mean that it's necessarily the romance genre. I just mean there was romance in the book, you know, like one of the driving forces of it was this building relationship. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So horror and romance, as you do. 7 is supernatural. So
that's surprising, honestly, for me that you would have that many.
Yeah. Well, supernatural for me is anything that's like, It's I think what I tend to think of it as is stuff that's urban fantasy. So things beyond, where there's kind of the difference when we're talking about fantasy. Lots of times when we think of fantasy, we think of like castles and wizards and dragons and stuff, and that's called high fantasy. Mm-hmm. And then the kind of thing I think about with as being supernatural often is considered urban fantasy, sort of like fantasy in cities. So maybe it's vampires.
Twilight
would be an urban fantasy, or City of Bones a couple of years back would be an urban fantasy. But yeah, so any sort of like low level supernatural, that's I would say supernatural, and maybe I would also take it as fantasy depending on what else is going on, but usually not. I would leave it there, supernatural. Mm-hmm. Another tied at number 5, apocalypse.
Again, not surprising. Probably surprising. A couple of those on the survival list.
Yeah. I usually be pretty strict with apocalypse. It's usually like the whole world is ending apocalypse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. As opposed to like the world is ending for this one person because bad things are happening.
Yeah. That's a fair distinction.
And then also, strangely enough, science fiction, which I always say I read more science fiction than fantasy, but then I had this supernatural higher up. So this is the things you learn when you keep track like I do.
You're learning about yourself.
I'm learning.
I mean, it's also fair to say, like, I think our show influences our reading a lot. Like, you probably read more fantasy than you normally do because I love fantasy. So some of our topics are usually fantasy-based. So
I think that's probably true. We read more broadly, perhaps, than we would otherwise. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And then 3 funny books and 3 thrillers, which honestly, it kind of makes me feel like I need to read more funny books next year because that's kind of sad. Like,
well,
I mean, And then two memoirs, two fantasy books, and one dystopian, which is pretty intense because, like, I feel like not that many years ago, not that long ago, I would have been like all dystopian all the time.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So, yeah.
That's cool.
That's my little genre breakdown.
Well, I'm only one book into this year, so maybe I can start
tracking stuff.
Oh, speaking of tracking, add us as a friend on Goodreads and you can track what we've talked about on the show.
Yes. You can add the show itself if you just search for Read This Next.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also add us individually.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if people can. I think it's hard to find me, but you can definitely add Laura.
Yes. And it is on the show notes. I think I usually put mine on the end of the show notes too.
Perfect.
So you can find us there.
Yeah.
We'll be happy to follow you back and see what you're reading.
Heck yes. Get me all the recommendations.
Okay. And then I have like rapid fire little fun facts.
Mm-hmm. I tried to match them a little bit.
My worst twist in a book. Surprise incest.
That's definitely the worst twist that you could throw in a book.
It was a bad surprise. I didn't care for it.
What book was it?
Well, we usually try not to speak too negatively.
Well,
I'll say this is not a book I recommended on the podcast because I felt like it did not meet our standards.
Yeah, that's fair to say.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Go follow Laura on Goodreads to find out that title.
Yeah. Most recommended that I've recommended to other people is probably My Heart is a Chainsaw, which is a horror book I read recently, or a nonfiction book called White Negroes When Cornrows Were in Vogue, which was really, really interesting about culture appropriation and just culture in general. And it was really, really good.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. Yeah. Most creepily prophetic, this book called Little Eyes, which was a science fiction thing about little, like, it was one about those
panda looking things.
Yeah. Furbies that were like Furbies, yes. Only they all recorded. Anyway, just reading that, I was like, oh, it's too real.
Yeah.
Worst cover, Little Eyes, or The Return, which was a book that was so good. And I was like, this cover is terrible.
I'll flash them here.
Most misleading cover, Lifeboat Clique. That was when you were like, oh, this one must be soapy. And I was like, it's not really.
Yeah, it was totally opposite.
It looked like it should have been like a cute summer romance or something. And then actually someone gets like killed by being hit with a piano. So
yeah. Was that the one where the girl snuck into the boat's bathroom?
No, that was a different one.
Oh, okay. I'm getting confused.
This is the one where there was like a tsunami and the girl's on a lifeboat with her like mortal enemy. And a bunch of people, like so many people died in that book. And the cover's like, good times, summertime.
Romance. Beach read.
It's not quite what it is. And then I don't really have a best cover because nothing really grabbed me as being like, this is the best one of the year.
Interesting.
I don't know. Just didn't.
Okay. Well, here, I'll give you my list. I changed it a little bit because I didn't have a most creepily prophetic one. My worst twist was Iron King, and the twist was that I had already read it, which was so disappointing.
That is disappointing.
I kept reading it being like, man, I feel like this is so familiar, but I couldn't remember enough of it to say that I had read it until I finished it. So there you go.
That would never happen to you if you were obsessively tracking everything in Goodreads.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I used to, like, I had a different account and I haven't used it in years. So I just made a new account when I started as a tech at the library. So I don't have all the history of ye olden days. So
sure. My account goes back to 2010.
Wow.
Because good for you. Well, when I was in library school, this is one of the tools they talked about. And I was like, I'm getting into this.
Yeah. You hopped on the boat early.
Early. And I never got off.
Mm-hmm. My most wrecked was Cemetery Boys by Aidan Thomas. I run a completely booked, it's a book bag subscription thing. And I put that in as many people's bags as possible. I also recommended, I didn't read this one this year, But Magic by Angie Sage. I saw a post that I think our coworker Lindsay made, and it was like the most searched books of the year.
I saw that.
And one of them was Magic, and I was like, that was me. I put that in like five people, maybe I think like six people's books. Like, I am the reason that one went out so much.
I saw that, and I honestly did wonder, because I was like, that book is not new. Like,
no, not at all.
Where did
it's like 2010 or something.
That's really funny.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
I love that. The one book I couldn't put down was The Last Graduate by Naomi Novik, but I couldn't wreck it
category.
Because it's the second one in the series, so it's really, really good. Mm-hmm. The worst cover, I liked the book, but I felt they could have done better, was Labyrinth Lost. And it was older. I think it just needs an update.
It's pretty busy.
Yeah, it's purple. And well, I'll show it, but it's just got a lot going on, and it doesn't really say much about what's in the book. So the best cover was Unravel the Dusk, which was incredible. I just, and her cover for Six Crimson Cranes is also really pretty. Yeah. And then my most popular book, not in my opinion, but in like Goodreads opinion, was A Court of Thorns and Roses, which came out in 2015 and 1,649,000 plus people shelved it this year alone. Isn't that nuts?
People are obsessed with Sarah J. Maas.
Yeah, but like this year, I just can't believe that many people shelved it. Well, maybe they shelved it like read again, but
yeah,
nuts. So those are my fun facts.
Fun facts. Okay, last little section of fun facts and our star rankings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I was just curious, the oldest publication books. So as it turns out, because you can have like a fun chart with this information and Goodreads, because I love the data. I pretty much read like almost exclusively stuff from the last the current year, the last couple of years. But the oldest book I read was from 2003. I read it in December, like right near the end of the year. It was a possession book called Come Closer. It was creepy. It was very creepy. It was really good. And then I read a 2011 book that was about potty training.
Of course. It never goes, doesn't need to be updated.
That advice doesn't age,
No.
And then there was like one other book that was like way down in the chart, and I was like, what book is this? I was confused because it was a French book, and then I realized it had been originally published in 1994, and then the English translation was actually, of course, just published last year, but it was the book that time of year, so it was in fact new to me, but had been originally published years ago.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
I think all of mine were published within the last few years, except ACOTAR, which, 2015, but
sure. Still fairly.
Yeah.
Fairly recent.
Okay. How many four stars did you have?
I will.
Oh, you're getting
tell you
that.
The whole list.
Sorry.
Okay. So my next little information category breakdown is by star ranking. So although I don't put reviews in, I do give every book I read a ranking out of five. And so often it is a three, which is like, for me, like one star is like, oh, that was a mistake. Two stars is okay. Three stars is I liked it. It was pleasant. I had a good time. Am I ever going to read it again? No, probably not.
Yeah.
Would I recommend it to someone else? Sure. If they asked for something like that, but I wouldn't go out of my way.
Mm-hmm.
And then four stars is I really liked it. I'll probably talk about it to people. Might shove it at a couple people. And then five stars is like, this is a favorite. I loved it. Maybe I want to own it.
Mm-hmm.
Often five-star books are the ones I'll end up buying later.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't usually have too many of those in any given year. And I don't usually have very many one or two stars either, because like at this point, I'm pretty familiar with what's going to work for me and what's not. So I ended up with five-star books, 16 four-star books.
There you go.
Which I was honestly kind of impressed by. I was like, that's a good year. that's a good year of a lot of pretty good books. But then, of course, as expected, the majority of books were 3 stars, 26 3-star book reads, 7 2-star books, and 2 1-star books. If something is a 2-star or a 1-star, would not be recommended on this podcast. It has happened in the past that, like, there's been a book that we hadn't read yet, but we were recommending it. And then I read it after we filmed the episode, but before we released it, and been like, Nicole, you got to cut it out.
It's bad.
I don't want my name attached to this bad book.
Yeah. Most of the time we manage to catch it, but there's probably a few episodes out there. Oh, I know for a fact there's a few episodes out there, at least one, where Laura was like, I read this book. It was not good. I'm so sorry. And I was like, oh, that's upsetting.
Because we try
so hard.
We really do. Yeah. And in my defense, as I said, my 1-star books, it's not like I just like pick something junky off the ground. It was reasonable to have high expectations. Book one was a bestseller, like a huge bestseller, and even a book club pick for one of the famous actresses that has
Reese,
book clubs now.
Oprah, who knows?
83,000 people had rated it on Goodreads, and they cumulatively gave it a 3.4 rating.
Okay.
And I thought it was bad. Again, you could go on my Goodreads and find out what they are, but I'm not going to say. And then book two was, I think the book itself was not a bestseller, but the author has been a bestseller in the past for sure, like a New York Times bestselling author. And way less people read this book, which is not surprising, because like this one wasn't a bestseller and it really didn't make much of a splash at all, which is good because it was bad. And it was rated by 3,000 people, and they gave it a rating of 3.09, which is still like way higher. And I just kind of want to be like, it was bad.
Goodreads so tends to trend higher than it, I think you're normally correct. Should. And I'm part of the problem. I really wish, like, in most things, I approve of having a middle number, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But in this, in my mind, it's like 1, I hated it. I don't want to read that ever again.
Sure.
3, it was fine. It was good. It was a good book. 4, wow, I really like this book. 5, oh my God, I gotta tell Laura about this book. I'm telling Alex at home about this book. I'm calling my mom and telling her about the book. So like, I don't need a 2. I don't really have many 2s. And I think if it's a 1, that means it was like really, really bad. Because I think this year, my list was... Just
give us your breakdown.
Yeah. So I had... 5-star books, keeping in mind I read Sarah J. Maas's series this year, so a lot of them are from her. I had 4 4-star books, 4 3-star books, and 3 that I just didn't bother rating.
Was that like you finished them but you still were like bleh?
One of them was the one I had already read, so I was like, oh. I can't really accurately give it an opinion because I was so disappointed that I hadn't read it. Another one was a graphic novel. I think it was the one about Moon Girl and the dinosaur. Devil Dinosaur, yeah. And I was just kind of meh. I read it, so I added it, but I didn't feel anything either way.
Yeah.
It was good, but I didn't feel like telling the world how I felt about it.
Sure.
And then I can't remember what my other one that I didn't rate was. I feel like it was one that I had started and maybe didn't read like the last chapter, and then I forgot about it. And I was like, ah, it's too late. I'm out of the book now. But
got it. Yeah. Yeah. No, I get it.
Yeah.
I used to write like reviews of things, and especially I would pretty much only write a review if I really disliked it. But then, you know what? I got a little bit older. I got feelings, and now I'm too much of a...
We're concerned.
I'm too gentle. I'm like, oh, what if the author reads it and they feel bad?
Yeah. I mean, you know how you felt about it, right? Like, exactly. I don't write reviews either. I put it in there so I remember, did I like it or not? There you go.
It does still amuse me every now and then when I come across like a very old one that I had written a review and I'm just like ripping it apart. I'm like, that's funny. I'm funny when I'm mean sometimes. But it's not a nice to be mean, so I don't do that anymore.
That's fair. That's why we have a nice podcast.
Yes, only books we like. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Most of the time.
Okay. And so our last thing, just to finish it off, I'm just going to list off the titles of the books that I gave 5 stars to. Mm-hmm. And I think these are all books, I'm pretty sure these are all books that were covered in the podcast over the course of the year.
My
5-star books, A Children's Bible by Lydia Millett. That is now that is an apocalypse. It's really good. Very, very literary. Excellent. My Heart is a Chainsaw by Stephen Graham Jones, which we covered recently in the October spooky season episodes. I don't actually remember. With Patience. I don't actually remember when the Children's Bible was covered, but we did cover it. In the Dream House, which is a memoir by Carmen Maria Machado. And it is amazing, excellent, hard read, worthwhile, very good. Little Eyes by Samantha Schweblin, and that's a novel in translation, translated by Megan McDowell. Okay, and my last one is The Voting Booth by Brandi Colbert, and it is just a really cute YA contemporary romance, just like feel good, nice read. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But still, I will say, it is both of those things, but it is also set in the real world and looks at actual serious issues. So it is a socially conscious read as well.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. I recall it. Yeah, I remember you reviewing that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll tell you what my number 5s were. So A Court of Thorns and Roses, book 1, book 2, book 3. I haven't read the novella one yet. And book 5, I only gave 4 stars, but it was really good. I really liked it.
But still didn't hit 5 stars.
Yeah, compared to the other ones series. I think if I had read it separately, I would have been like, this is amazing. But in comparison to the first 3 ACOTAR books, it was a 4.
Makes sense.
The next one is The Fire Never Goes Out, A Memoir in Pictures by Noelle Stevenson, mm-hmm. which was just, it's a memoir in graphic novel form. So it's in the nonfiction section, I think. No, it could be in graphic novels. Anyways. It's really good. It's about her struggle with mental health and her journey through her creative career, really. And it's really good. I recommend it. The next one was The Last Graduate by Naomi Novik, which is her second in her Sholomance series. So that's fantasy, kind of Harry Potter, kids are going away for magic school kind of thing, but they also have to fight monsters that are living in the school. So. And then the last one was The Storm Crow by Kaylin Josephson. I don't know if we have this one at the library yet. I think I requested it and maybe we ordered it. But if not, it's really good. It's about this city where the magic that they're given is by these giant crows. It sounds weird when I describe it, but when she describes it, it sounds really cool. And then one day, this other neighboring city or whatever comes and destroys all the crows and takes over the city. Yeah. So you follow the girl who was supposed to inherit, or she's the sister, her sister inherits the throne or whatever. So it's really good. A little bit of romance, lots of fantasy, really good. And that one, I would recommend if you can get your hands on it. But yeah, those are my top 5s. I mean,
your five stars. So those books from both of our lists, some of them almost all of my reading I do through Cloud Library, which is our ebook app. Mm-hmm. So some of them we do have in print, but some of them we may just have available as an ebook. And same with some of Nicole's. I think you read mostly in print.
Mostly. I just got a Kobo and I have recently converted.
Well, there you go. Yeah. So yes, join me in the ebook side. Not that I'm not, in favor of print as well, obviously, but as someone with a toddler,
yeah,
it's a lot easier to manage it on your phone than to have an actual book that is so many pages to be ripped or squished or tossed across the room as it may be.
Yeah.
Anyway,
goopy fingers.
Yeah. That's our our year in reading.
Yeah, I will wrap us up. Mm-hmm. Thank you everybody for watching us, and we hope to bring you another full year of content. Make sure to follow us on Goodreads, of course, we are on YouTube at TBayPL. You can check out any of the items that we've listed today on our blog, which is www.tbplofftheshelf.com. And I think that's it. Like, follow, subscribe everywhere, and we will see you all in 2 weeks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.